You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With X the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Joining us now is Tom Kubinek, and he is the CEO of a company called Securit. They have been a military contractor in the past, but now it's about 87%, he said, is a consumer market. It's a product that you might be interested in if you've got a firearm. You want to be able to secure it, have a rapid access gun safe type of thing. But we want to talk about Second Amendment issues. It's very timely, I think, with what is happening right now. And so we're going to talk about the gun culture, Second Amendment in general. And so joining us now is Tom Kubinek. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to the conversation. And
Well, it really has been over this last weekend. People have been talking about Second Amendment rights and the gun culture from a variety of different angles has really put it front and center with the shooting in Minnesota. And so we've seen some surprising statements from people. The Republicans, people that are supposed to be allies to the gun issue, and it's like, you know, you shouldn't be carrying a gun. Things that look like their perspective is that makes you instantly dangerous and a suspect. What do you think is the really the threat, and what direction is it coming to us in terms of the individual liberty and the God-given right of self-defense? What's your perspective on that?
It's really. There's always the forces. There are always the forces working to eliminate this right. Mm-hmm. And they will seize on every opportunity to steer and manipulate and do whatever they can. But as you said, there's a lot of very much pro-2A people who are now making statements that would call into question, like, wait a minute, what is your position? And I think a lot of that is driven, I mean, A, if they're politically connected, they want to be within a narrow realm of acceptable talking points without, you know, alienating their base. But it's the Second Amendment sits, you know, as an icon, as one of our it's a fundamental right of this country, of citizens. And that means it doesn't matter, you know, how bad a situation is. It doesn't matter politically correct input. The horrible nature of what unfolded is, I mean, it's a travesty what happened. And I can't get too detailed into the hows and whys because, you know, we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, they're going to dig into this thing and pull it apart. But regardless of what happened, the Second Amendment still stands for what it is. And we have the right to carry. We have a right to own and have firearms. Yeah. And that right should have no bearing, no impact on the events that unfolded, other than there was a gentleman who was exercising a right.
Yeah, and you know, we see this, a lot of people talk about the fact that in order for the general public at large to understand what is involved here, they need to have some contact with guns. I don't know your background in terms of your contact with guns and how long that's been around, assuming that it's been a very long time. But a lot of people have hardened positions because they're not really a part of that culture. They don't know anything about guns. They haven't used them. But we're living in a time where individual liberty is pretty much despised in all different areas. I mean, almost everybody has driven a car in this society, and yet we see a lot of contempt for the right to be able to travel freely. We just had a lot of Republicans voted against the idea that we're going to stop this kill switch that's been mandated. You know, so they want to, got a lot of Republicans who, and pretty much nearly all the Democrats, who said that the government should be able to shut down your car independent of you. We should have some device somehow that's going to be on the car that's going to decide whether or not you should be allowed to drive and then shut it down. We've seen different things like that proposed for safety in terms of smart guns and stuff like that. Well, we're going to have a smart car that's going to decide whether or not you're allowed to use it. And so even though people have had a lot of experience driving cars, being passengers in cars, and know the car culture here in America, there's still a real uneasiness about car ownership and operation. So, of course, we're going to see that with the gun culture, aren't we?
Absolutely. The car thing is really strange that the people are supporting this, and I'm not. I'm surprised there's not a bigger outrage because there is no right to own or drive a car in our Constitution. However, the concept of a car didn't exist when everything was drafted, and we do have a right to move about in our country. We do have a right to, we're self-directed. We have the freedom to do what we want to do as long as we're not violating someone else's constitutional rights. So you could simply very easily draw a conclusion that, these rights we have, the car is simply a vehicle to exercise our rights. It's a very accepted, it's the standard way in which we Americans move around.
Yeah.
If the government's going to come in and say, oh, wait, we're going to be able to shut off a right. Because you're not, yes, you're stopping a car, but you're shutting down someone's ability to move about freely. And you can't argue that, well, you still have that right. You don't need a car. Well, in our world, anybody knows if all of a sudden, unless you live in a handful of big cities with public transportation that you feel safe riding,
that's a small case.
Well, it is, but it's again. I had a son who lived in New York, went to school there, and he was never going to own a car in New York. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. But I live in a small town, and if you don't have a car, that's a punishment. That's a sentence. That's you are now confined. You're not moving around.
That's right.
It's that critical to our ability to move about freely in our country.
That's right. And of course, the drafters of the Constitution understood that the Bill of Rights is not giving us rights, that our rights come from God. What they were doing was enumerating certain ones that they knew that we'd be attacked at first. But they made it clear that if we didn't mention it, doesn't mean that we don't have that right. We haven't surrendered anything to you. And that really is the case. When we look at their intrusion into our personal papers, they don't have to send an officer around to rummage through our desk anymore. They can do it remotely through our devices, and they can get into our personal papers and all these other things like that. So it really is, we're at the point where people don't understand why we have these prohibitions against actions by government infringing on our individual liberty, and they don't value these things because they've always had them, and they take them for granted, and we're on the cusp of losing so many of our liberties, I think. And so the Second Amendment is just one of those, and it's the one that they've been coming after for the longest time, I think.
I think it is, but the fact that it is, I don't know if the word is brilliantly worded, but it's so well worded in our Constitution. Again, and you said, this is not a right that is given. The right is, it's implied, the right is at birth. Mm-hmm. It simply says the government is not going to infringe on this right. So, and that is very carefully worded in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
And as you just mentioned, though, what we're seeing happening, and a lot of people are unaware of it, it's everything else. It's this chipping away of our individuality and, working us towards the new head of New York City about collectivism, this idea that we're not individuals, it's a collective, and the collective whole will benefit if the government has these powers. Well, there's no world where I could ever imagine that somehow we benefit because the government has a massive power to limit our capabilities. I don't care what that capability is. It's just, that's not who we are. We have, again, they're not our leaders. They are simply our representatives.
Yeah.
And when they start acting like leaders and thinking they're in charge, that should be red flags going up all over the place.
And of course, history shows just the opposite happens, when you turn over all powers to the government.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With X to the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
What do we do? What is real security? And how, from your perspective in terms of what you make available to people in terms of the organizations. Tell us a little bit about your corporation, how you got involved in it.
Well, Securit, we are the global leader in military weapons storage. We build armories all over the world, and now we are in consumer products with fast access gun safes. Our methodology is a little different than in the consumer retail space. We're the only company that, we come from a military background. We look at firearms and firearm security and safes and things like that from the perspective of why does someone own a firearm? And that storage has to be conducive with why you own the gun. To that end, everything we produce is smaller, modular, lightweight, affordable, and easy to live with. The idea of a great big heavy, metal box full of drywall in your basement is just, there's a reason so many guns in America are unsecured. Yeah. And I talk to a lot of people and they all have the same statements. Oh yeah, I've got a gun safe in my basement, but for personal protection, I keep one next to my bed. I keep one here, I keep one there. And yes, you have that right. But when you look at the data of the number of tragedies, accidental, the things that happen annually in this country that could be prevented very simply by simply providing a simple barrier between kids, between unwanted people and your firearms, it seems like a no-brainer to us. And now, we're at a point with fast access gun safes. We can easily demonstrate that it's faster to have your gun locked in a fast access safe than to have it in a closet leaning in the corner of a room. I can demonstrate that my access in my home, you come into my home, you would never know I own firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I'm never more than 2.5 seconds away from being armed. If I'm at my closet or at one of my locations, I can be less than a second. I also, as the owner of the company, I'm trying to prove a point. I practice access. Mm-hmm. I make sure that I'm on top of what I'm doing. But that, one of our missions is to make sure every gun in America is properly secured, and proper is defined by out of sight.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you've got little kids in your home, they don't need to know.
That's
and
right.
Once they're old enough to understand, well, then they should go. You should teach them, train them, and have them be very proficient with firearms. The more proficient people are with firearms, the safer we all are.
I agree with that. Yeah, and we're at the point where one of the reasons I want to talk to you is because we're at the point right now in our family. We have my son has got a young toddler who's just starting to walk, and so we've got to make sure that we got everything secure for him.
Absolutely.
And he's at a very vulnerable age right now. Of course, you never know what he's going to do with anything. He doesn't have the strength to pull the trigger, but who knows what he would do? So we've got to have this stuff secured, and that's a key
absolutely.
Thing. That's absolutely a key thing.
It is. And I read and people send to me data all the time and infamous stories about accidental access to firearms.
Mm-hmm.
And, with young boys, it's more of a boy thing than a girl thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Young boys, train sets and guns.
That's right. We had a friend.
You give a kid a stick and he immediately points a stick and shoots it.
That was right.
Almost
we had a friend who she was very much did not like the gun culture and everything. And she had a young son. And she said, I finally realized that it's just innate. She said, I kept guns away from him, didn't give him any toy guns. And I look out and he's got a stick and he's going pew pew out in the backyard with a stick. So, they know and they're just wired for that. And we have to make sure we take the proper precautions with all that. That's a key part of it, isn't it?
It is. And I get the argument not to have a gun unsecured. And it's an old argument, but it's based on old thinking. And when you look at what's available now, there's no reason not to have every single firearm properly secured. We've developed what we call the principles of decentralized storage. And that's really looking at your home the way I would look at a reactionary force in the Marine Corps. You're trying to defend a base or an embassy security force. How are we going to locate and deploy weapons to make this place secure? Well, look at your home the same way. We publish a lot of information on this because the safest, most secure locations in your home to store and secure firearms are also the best locations to give you a tactical advantage in the event of a break-in, a home invasion, or in some way that you're being threatened in your home or in your car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's very, very important. Yeah. So, what do we do to get people to understand the gun culture, and what kind of messaging do we have to worry about? Inside of the people who understand the importance of guns, but in terms of the way that we talk about it?
I think intelligent conversation is better than rhetoric. And there's a lot of rhetoric on both sides of this conversation. And it's my hope that on the firearm side, on the side of 2A, that people think a little bit and then speak and speak intelligently. The Constitution is on our side. We don't need to have a loud, difficult, yelling conversation about firearms. We simply need to express what the Constitution gives us and what we have and what it protects, and then just talk about the advantages of firearms ownership. And I think a big part of that advantage is training, is understanding. Simply buying a firearm does not make you more secure. Mm-hmm. Taking the time to get training, taking the time to practice, that does. And I got real quick story. I thought it was such a huge win for the Second Amendment. We worked with a software developer several years ago. He was out of California, very liberal. In fact, he questioned working with us because we were in the firearms industry. And he was very upfront about it. He just said, guys, look, I'm a little uncomfortable. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a supporter of the Second Amendment. I'm a little uncomfortable with the idea of working for you guys. I simply said, look, I understand. Our mission is to make sure every gun in America is properly secured. If I achieve my mission, do you feel safer? And he agreed with me. Mm-hmm. So we started working together, and this was right when the defund police all started happening, and he was fairly close to some pretty bad events. And he was nervous about it, and he went out and he bought a handgun. And he talked to me about it. I said, look, getting the handgun's not going to help you. You need to get training, find a good instructor, find one you're comfortable with, work with them on a fairly regular basis for the first couple of months. You need to make sure if you're going to own a firearm, you get to the range at least once a month. And he said, it's a commitment. And he said, okay. And what was fascinating, months later, he called me. He said, Tom, I got to tell you something. I love this. He's now shooting. He was getting into a class. Then he was joining a club where they were doing handgun competitions. About 4 months into this, he called me. He said, Tom, I'm going to buy an AR-15. And I said, really? He goes, I'm watching, what these guys can do with the rifle. It's the safest gun that I can own in my home, which I agree with. A properly owned, properly trained, a person with an AR-15. There's no safer rifle in America. And he is a ultra-liberal computer programmer guy who now is a Second Amendment supporter. And I just watched it unfold. He felt threatened. He felt alone. His vision that law enforcement is there to protect me fell apart in the defund police mode. And all of a sudden, he realized the only thing keeping me safe is luck, that they don't happen to come. The mob in the street doesn't happen to come into my home.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a wake-up call for him, and all of a sudden he did the proper steps, and I commend him for doing it properly. He now owns firearms. He's in a very good position to defend himself and his neighbors. I'm sure his friends and his groups have no idea that he owns firearms, but
people have to think about that, and they have to. I've interviewed a guy a couple of times from South Africa, and he was a missionary. And he had concerns. He said, I don't think I should own a firearm. And, I don't have any interest. I don't think I could shoot somebody or shoot at somebody. And yet there was a lot of violence in South Africa at the time. And so he said he saw people that were innocent being shot. And he said, I realized then that I have an obligation to protect innocent life, including my own. And so he got a gun and he trained on it. And he only had a 5-shot revolver. And he was attending a very large church, over 1,000 people. And he was just visiting it. But they said later on during Truth and Reconciliation that they had picked that church because they didn't figure anybody would be armed. They came in the side door throwing grenades and shooting the place up with fully automatic weapons. He's way in the back with just the revolver. But he thought, well, I'm going to try. So he takes a shot, and he thinks, I'm not going to hit anything with that. So he ran out the side and took some shots from there, and they ran off. And they said later on they thought they were being attacked from multiple angles. He didn't realize it, but his first shot actually hit one of these guys. And so you never know in a situation like that. Here's one guy with a revolver, 5-shot revolver, and he was able to defend these people. Now, when they came in throwing grenades and firing automatic weapons, they immediately killed about 50 people. But it could have been everybody. They were going to kill everyone in that church. And he was able to fend that off. So people have to go through these decisions. Again, he had to think about this as like, would I be morally justified to do this in defense of innocent life? And he got the right decision, and he learned how to use it as well.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you got to do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're going to give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply, 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 multiply.
With X to the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Yeah, and he had a result. It's I always tell people, and I talk to a lot of people on firearms ownership, and I say the decision to buy your first firearm should be a life-altering decision.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to own a firearm, which you're going to, you know, use for home defense, for personal defense, you're going to change your lifestyle going forward. If you're going to carry, if your decision is to conceal carry a firearm, you will be shooting on a regular basis for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm a very busy executive. I travel a lot, and you know, I have concealed carry permit. I have all the proper everything you need. But there's many times in my life I do not carry a firearm, because if I'm not actively training, for me it's about decision making. Mm-hmm. And if I've gone a long stint where I have not been training, not been shooting, I'll have it in a backpack, but I will not carry on body, because I'm not in a position to execute that responsibility at that time. That's the decision I make. Mm-hmm. And some people say I'm nuts, but that's just the way I do it. And it also encourages me to make sure I block out time to work with instructors, to get the reps in, to just do everything required. You know, my background was a musician. Mm-hmm. And we practice and rehearse, practice and rehearse. So when it's showtime, doesn't matter if you're nervous. It's showtime and you execute. Yeah. It's the same thing against the same challenges. It's just you've got deadly force. You've got to have it right.
That's a great way to look at it. Yeah, my son says after the guy gets one, he uses it on the range for a while. He realizes it isn't the scary, uncontrollable monster that he thought it was. You know, so you start to get to realize what it really is. It's a tool. As you point out, you need to be experienced in the use of that tool. It needs to be kind of second nature. You know, there's a lot of different attacks that are coming at us in a lot of different ways. And, of course, I don't know if you saw this or not, but the whole 3D gun printer thing, which they really are upset about, there's a new law that's being pushed out in Washington. And what they're trying to do is, even though this has been upheld as a kind of a combination of the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, the code for printing gun parts was held to be protected by the First Amendment by courts. It was challenged by Cody Wilson, and they won that fight. So now the idea of the state government in Washington state is to, we're going to intimidate this, and we're going to do it as a partnership with the printer manufacturers. So in order for them to be able to sell the printer manufacturer, they're going to have to set up a mechanism whereby we can prohibit the printing of anything. And when the guy started talking about this, this guy is a 3D printer guy, and he's not really focused necessarily on just printing guns. But when he talked about it, everybody thought, oh, you're just talking about printing guns and we should shut that down. He says, no, this is about everything. He says, if you're a farmer and you want to print a 3D part for your tractor, and John Deere says, no, that belongs to us, they can prohibit that as well. And so when we look at this, there's this massive interconnection of freedoms. And once we start to pick and choose and micromanage which freedoms are going to be exercised and how they're going to be exercised, we all wind up losing everything in the end, don't we?
I think so. It's I find the 3D printing, I actually follow quite a bit of that. Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by the technology. I restore old cars as one of my, that's my therapy. Yeah. And I've always talked to people about there's going to come a time where you don't buy parts, you buy the drawing and you simply print the parts.
Yeah.
And that's a long ways down, but printers are getting so inexpensive and the technology is getting so cheap. But it is new, and when there's so many people, such a high percentage of our population that is afraid of change. And it doesn't matter what the change is. You see resistance to change, yet every morning it's a new day. Every day this, you know, the second hand is moving, and every second goes by, things are changing and advancing. We should embrace this technology. There's so much good.
Yeah, you're talking about car parts. You know, Jay Leno's been doing that for a while because he's got these very old cars that he's got, and nobody's making any parts for them. We're going to see that as well for much newer parts, because it'll either be the situation where there's not enough of them out there, or maybe the government might even prohibit it because they don't want you driving the old cars that aren't completely connected to their control. So that is also another aspect for people to think about. It all comes down to the point where they always want to know everything that we're doing and micromanage everything that we're doing, and centralized control of everything. And that's seems to be the current thread of where everything seems to go. And that's where the stuff has been coming from for the longest time for firearms, you know, centralized control of firearms from Washington and then start shutting them down one by one.
Yeah. It's I'm surprised some of the things that have happened recently. I live in New York State. We have the SAFE Act. We're now, I have to do a background check, a state background check, to buy ammunition. Mm. I don't see how this has not been thrown out yet. I'm not sure it's been adjudicated. It's a crazy rule. I'm limited in terms of magazine size. I've got my limits in terms of, there's a list of guns that I simply cannot own in the state.
Wow.
And it's an annoyance. I mean, as for me, when I look at home defense, the actual firearm that I would use to defend myself, I can legally own. Can I own a 30-round magazine? I cannot. It's a 10-round magazine. So that changes a little bit of the aspect of how you use it. But
Is there a limit on how many magazines you can have, for example, right now? They just want you to have to change out to another one.
But it's again, it doesn't matter what the rule is. It's that there's a lot of people within our government that just, they're going to chip away at anything they can do. And it's just a big pile of dirt of freedom in the middle of this room, and any bit they can pull into their little bucket and eliminate, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've seen people like, Tom, why are you taking on this fight? This is really stupid. I said, I hate to use the term slippery slope, but it's overused, but
it applies.
You know, sometimes you fight so hard for grains of sand, because you're stopping something that could become a tidal wave.
That's right.
And a lot of people, I mean, you see it just across the world. A lot of people don't react until it hits them personally. And at that point, they've missed their window.
That's right. You know, well, it's like Hemingway said, you know, the guy who went bankrupt that's very rich, that said, how'd that happen? He said, gradually, then suddenly. That's why we have that analogy of a slippery slope. Yeah, you know, that's what happens. At first, it's just a short little thing, but then it really picks up speed and it accelerates. If you don't stop the trend, if you don't see the trend that's coming.
No, you can stop a car rolling downhill. If the brakes don't work and the car's just starting to move, you can stand behind it and stop it. Mm-hmm. Once it's going 5 miles an hour, you better get out of the way. It's going. And that's,
Yeah.
You know, we've done a good job of stopping these freight trains. I believe society's done a good job. And I think the defund police was a huge, as much as it just shocked me what was happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There were more 2A supporters created those sentiments, those things were being pushed forward in cities like Minneapolis, which I used to do a lot of business. It was a beautiful city, beautiful downtown. It's never going to recover.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that live there that, for the first time in their lives, woke up saying, there's nothing preventing chaos from walking into my apartment or my condo or my home except luck. And I hate to see things like that happen to drive support for what I believe in is just the simplest way and the best way to live. But we're at another point now where, you know, Trump is a lightning rod. Like him or hate, he is a lightning rod personality. And there are people that will go against the Second Amendment just because he's on that side. I think it's very short, a very narrow focus.
Mm-hmm. He's not very comfortable himself with it either because he's never had any experience. I saw the interview with Scott Bessent, and that really got my attention over the weekend, where he said to Jonathan Carl, his soundbite that he came prepared to talk about was, do you go to a protest with a gun? You know, do you go to a protest? I kept asking that question over and over. And he kind of got Jonathan Carl to back down. Well, I haven't really covered protests as a reporter. And no, I haven't carried a gun either. And I thought about that. And I thought, I bet Scott Bessent hasn't carried one either, because he's got an army of people to protect him all the time that are armed. That was before he got into government, even. He was somebody who was very, very wealthy with George Soros, and he's got his own army of bodyguards who are armed to protect him. He doesn't need that. And so you have people who grow up in or live in that kind of a scenario. They don't see the need for self-defense because they've got an army of paid people who do it for them. And they really can't sympathize with what we're doing. Especially if they're coming from New York, they spent all their life in New York and never touched a gun. They really don't really understand what's going on with it.
And they never will. I mean, having to show a force, the guards around you, it's not just that you're protected, it's that you'll never even see it, because the bad characters, I always equate them to like bullies in school. The bad guys aren't looking for a fight. They're looking for a pushover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And any bit of resistance, perceived or otherwise, they're going to move on. They're not, you know, if they believe for a minute that you might have a firearm, they're not going to bother you.
Yeah.
They're going to look, they want the easiest target. They're looking for, you know, all these, they're looking for pushovers.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about home defense, and I said, guys, all you got to do is make your home look a little more secure than the next house down the street, because the robbers, the burglars are going to go for the easiest target. And that happens in personal safety when you're looking at personal threats against you. You know, I just tell people, just walk like you mean it. When you're walking through an area that you're a little concerned, stand up tall, bold, walk with so much purpose, like you're ready to just take on the world.
Yeah.
Because a bad character is going to look and say, I don't know who that is, but again, if you're walking with your shoulders down, slow, your head down, kind of plodding along, you look like an easy mark.
That's right.
Sometimes that's a difference. And, you know,
you're the weak animal on the edge of the herd right there.
And absolutely.
The predator's going to pick you off with that. Yeah.
Most people I know that shoot and train and carry firearms, you can just look at them and you're not going to mess with them. They're not going to draw they're never going to be in a situation to draw the firearm, because the fight's not coming to them. The fight's going to the weak character. So, you know, the more we can do to get people who feel or may feel vulnerable to just pause, you don't need to go out and buy a firearm. Just go to a training center and take a class. They will walk you through everything. They'll provide you with a firearm to try and get good instruction, do it properly, and see how you feel. See if it's for you.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Multiply! 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 Multiply!
With X to the Cash scratch tickets from the Texas Lottery, you could multiply the cash by 30, 50, 100, or even 200 times. And when you multiply the cash, you multiply the celebration. With top prizes from $60,000 up to $1 million, it's the easiest way to multiply your luck. And enter for a chance to win a VIP iHeart experience. Play X the Cash Scratch tickets today. Must be 18 or older. Play responsibly.
Yeah. You know, it's...
Well, tell us a little bit about your products. You're free to do a commercial here. Tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit about how these things operate, and you know what your design objectives are for it, and how they maybe are. I've seen a lot of these. I don't know if that's your product or not. Yeah. That you wouldn't know that that's a safe. You know, it looks like a bookshelf or something like that.
Well, ours do look like safes, and what we do, we take 25 years of building military armories into a line of consumer products. Our safes are smaller and they're lightweight. And that's one of the biggest points of difference of us. Gun safes are big, heavy boxes because they believe when people see heavy, they think security. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing, weight has nothing to do with security. Gun safes are breached with a circular saw and a carbide blade. If you look at any bit of crime data, they simply ignore the locks. They cut a hole in the side of the safe. My safes are, the same thing can happen, but our safes are small, modular, shallow, designed to go into closets, designed to go into discrete locations. And then we store firearms per military principles where it's straight line access to every firearm. You open the door of my safe and you've got straight line, one arm, one gun. You're never digging through guns. Everything is, you can glance at the safe, you know everything's there. And we also integrate gun and gear storage. You know, it's a very modular, scalable system. Our gun safes in the military are referred to as the Lego rack and the Tetris rack because the armors just start at the bottom of each one and just build like Legos. They build exactly what they need in every single set, every single cabinet to solve their problem. Our consumer products do the same thing. Our most recent breakthrough is what we call HSFA locking, high stress, fast access locking. We are hosting a training event just to learn more about access, to learn more about scenarios that unfold. And we were doing force-on-force training in a shoot house where we were simulating home invasions and office break-ins. And we determined when you trigger someone into fight or flight, and these guys were all experienced shooters, but when we could trigger them into that panic mode, they could not open a simple gun safe. The buttons, they could, because when you go fight or flight, you lose fine motor skills, you develop tunnel vision, your cognitive ability is reduced. So I got back from that event, and a day later, I had this new lock design drawn up. Within 6 months, it was incorporated across our entire line, and it's a locking solution. It's a very simple, very secure, but it's designed to give you the fastest possible access when you're under a very high stress. Like if somebody... home invasion, you've got a second and a half, 2 seconds, maybe somebody's shooting at you, you're in panic mode. Our locking solution puts you in a position to retrieve your firearm very quickly and defend yourself. That's the newest thing we've done.
So how does that, how does it open up?
It's a push, there are push button locks, which releases the safe, and you simply, it's a handle, you just turn a handle, open the door. Ergonomically, we position all the guns so that, and we have videos on how to set up your safes for fastest possible access, whether it's a rifle or a handgun. And it positions a firearm. So I retrieve the firearm. I retrieve it, like for me, if it's an AR-15 left hand on grip, it comes up. And in a one simple motion, I'm in a ready position to defend myself. With handguns, the door accessing is a little different. Again, we're positioning things so the safe pops open. When the firearm comes out of the safe, you are in a low ready position or high ready, depending on the location of the safe. But it's, we're the only company that really thinks about the ergonomics and the actual flow of what people are doing when they need to access a firearm very, very quickly. So we really, and this goes back to our military, working with the Marine Corps, the reaction force teams, working with special forces, the high-speed teams where everything has to be seconds. Everything, and it has to be, you know, the old slow is smooth, smooth is fast. We follow that idea that the simplest path is usually the best. There's just, it's, what we do is very simple. It's just nobody in firearm storage ever thought about it. My, you know, gun safes, nothing wrong with gun safes. They're just all the same. it's a big box full of little W's and you pack all your guns in there. We also do not, offer fire ratings on our core products. Mm-hmm. Fire ratings are nonsense. It's
if you can get it out quickly, if there's a fire, you can get it out. So
the whole fire rating system is not honest. I've posted a lot on this. It is a horribly flawed system. No, your guns will not survive in a hot fire. They won't. Mm-hmm. And even if they look okay, you'll never know how hot they got. Your hardened steel is not hardened. Your annealed barrel may not be annealed. You're never going to shoot them again. We do make one. We call it the True Safe. It's a double-walled, cement-filled safe. We make it to prove a point that if you want fire safety, fire capacity, fire rating, this is what it takes. It's a beast. It's just under 2,000 pounds. When you buy it from us, we install it. We send a crew. They install it. You're never going to move this thing. Do people need it? No. We made it to prove a point. We do sell, and they're very popular with coin collectors, we find, but we do sell a handful of them a month. But really, we made it just to show the gun industry, the world, this is what a fire rating is. Mm-hmm. This is what it takes. But you don't need a fire rating. The risk of your home burning down is so rare going through all that nonsense and all that weight and all the materials they use are all banned from use in armory. So the drywall, the carpeting, the adhesives is all very corrosive. You know, the reason the industry sells millions of dollars of anti-corrosion products, because a traditional gun safe is very corrosive. You know, our civilian products, are all made to the same military standards. And we don't recommend using any of those products. You simply clean your guns properly, they're never going to corrode. And that's kind of, you know, our whole position in the consumer market. We are the, I don't want to say redheaded stepchild, but we're the outlier. We're the disruptive force in the industry we're trying to change an industry that's just been doing the same thing for 65 years.
Your perspective is very different. You're looking at this as, how do I store this so I can get quick access to it instead of, you know, how do I make this thing withstand a hurricane and a fire and all the rest of this stuff, you know? And now let me ask you, how do you go from a locked standpoint to being able to open it quickly? You were talking about pushing a button and getting it open.
So our locks are all, we have biometrics within our locks, but we would never, ever recommend use of biometric fingerprint readers. Mm-hmm. Those are for convenience only, because if your hands are wet, it won't open. If your hands are dirty, it won't open. If you're wearing gloves, it won't open. Mm-hmm. We want everybody to use the keypad. Again, our fast access keypads work very well, but when you buy my safe, if you've got an under the bed safe for a shotgun, every night when you go to bed, turn the lights off. You're going to reach down quietly and smoothly, do your combination, open the safe and close it, go to bed. You're going to do that every night for the first 36 nights, and then you're going to do it every week. And what you're doing is you're building muscle memory, just like a musician playing an instrument. And when you do that, once you go 36 days, you've now ingrained that. You've hardwired that in your subconscious. Regardless of your state, you're going to open that safe incredibly quickly and very smoothly. So that's, you know, we have a whole curriculum of train with your safe. Mm-hmm. People with handguns always, they practice their dry fire routines. They practice their draw. If you're if you conceal carry, if you're into this, you know, part of the Second Amendment, you should be every morning doing your dry fire routines. I sit on a slack line balancing just for added a workout thing. And I do dry fire drills every morning. And I've been doing that for years. Because it's just getting those reps in is so important. Mm-hmm. Same thing with my locking system is every time you go, if you got a small safe in your closet by your front door, which is a great location to store firearms, every time I pull a coat out to just reach in, without even looking, I can open up that safe and remove a firearm in less than a second with my eyes closed, because I've done it probably 2,000 times. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how we look at the whole thing is, the gun safe industry has a safe as a passive piece of equipment that's in your basement that you go to after your day is done with training or hunting or whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. We look at firearm storage as integral to the process of defending your home, the process of defending your life. So we want that access, that using that lock to be part of your process.
It's another holster, in other words.
That's the term we've used, a holster for your home. And that's how we look at it. The other side of our system is, gun and gear storage, the amount of gear, and this happened at the military first. You know, we got involved with the military because they were fielding so much high value gear, their armories just couldn't hold it. And part of our system is that ability to store gear behind, above, around with your firearms in a very organized manner. So we have a real advantage. Our systems, when you open the doors up of a safe that's really, really decked out and take a picture of it, everybody goes, holy cow, that looks good. And that's, you know, our, we made Inc. Magazine's fastest growing companies in America twice in 3 years. And we never spent any money on advertising. It was that's all great. Word of mouth. Yeah. It was just photographs of what people were doing with our system. And it just went crazy. So it's, I think we're winning this idea that of, you know, for what we do, storage and security are integral to safety and, you know, home defense.
And that really is the vulnerability that we have. You know, we have, if people don't use the firearms reasonably, then that opens us up to the attack on firearm ownership.
Absolutely.
From a safety standpoint. So part of preserving the Second Amendment is preserving your life and preserving the safe storage of these items as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. If we always say, if every firearm in America was properly secured, would we be fighting so hard for the Second Amendment? Because you're going to eliminate so many, what I call them stupid, so many, the accidental, the things you read about, and you just, you know, you roll your eyes, you drop your head. It's a tragedy, but just like, my God, it was so easy to prevent that.
Yeah.
We live at a time now where there should never be a child getting access to a firearm or a friend at a party who's drunk or, you know, there's it's real easy now to keep firearms secured yet very, very available to the authorized person.
Yes. And of course, you know, we see elements of this when it comes to automobiles as well, right? And, you know, when people don't use automobiles responsibly, then that puts all of us in a position of having our rights stripped away with that. And of course, since so many people don't have experience with firearms at all like they do with cars, whenever they see something like this, they think that that is characteristic of everybody rather than just one irresponsible person. So it's really important for you personally. And it's important for us collectively to protect the Second Amendment. But the key thing is for your own use. And so I really like the idea that you got that it's another holster that's there, that you train with it to be able to open it up very quickly. That's a great idea. Again, the company yes, go ahead. Sorry.
It's Secure Tactical. Yeah, we're working hard to get this message out. We're slowly winning it. It's just not easy. You know, we're trying to change the way people think, and that takes time.
Yeah.
It just does. And but we're slowly winning this war.
Yes, yes. And so the company again, folks, is Securit. What is your website? Is it Securit.com?
It's Secure, yes, SecuritGunStorage.com.
Okay.
And then Securit Tactical is our military site. If you just Google the word Securit, we're all over the web.
That's great. Thank you so much. Fascinating story. And we'll be looking at it ourselves, I'm sure. So thank you very much, Tom. Right. I appreciate it. Tom
well,
Kubanek
thank you.
And Securit Gun Storage. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And by the way, I should mention that they don't sell these in the stores because, as you heard, they've got a lot of training information on the site. And that really does show how to use the product, how to train with the product. So they're very much integrated into an online presentation. So just check out the website. You can find them online if you look for Securit, IT.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project, to make sure the commoners own nothing, and the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find
at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.